Christian County Magistrate, District 6. The candidates are Philip Peterson and James McKnight. A coin has been flipped to determine which candidate will begin. Candidates will have 2 minutes for, and the first question will go to the winner of the coin toss. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to answer each question, and 30 seconds for a rebuttal answer will be allowed by the initial speaker. This year, the Candidate Forum Committee reached out to all non-candidate league members as well as local news media to gather information in order to form a pool. Questions asked in each forum were selected randomly from that pool and have been kept confidential until the time of this forum. We will begin with Mr. Peterson as he won the coin toss.
Thank you. I would like to start off by thanking the League of Women Voters for organizing this debate and helping to inform our voters here in Christian County. I'm Philip Peterson, and I'm running for Magistrate of District 6. I've served 6 years, and I'm currently a commissioned Kentucky Colonel. With my 19 years' experience owning a security business and 28 years of being a volunteer fireman, my family's involvement in agriculture for many years, this together gives me kind of a unique view of the needs of District 6. I believe in lower taxes and smaller government. In my first term, property taxes dropped 0.1 cents. I also voted against the nickel tax resolution that was brought before fiscal court. I work hard to help small businesses grow, and I'll work farmers and landowners' rights. I will work for public safety, and I'll support our first responders. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McKnight?
Yes. I'd also like to thank the League of Women Voters for this venue and this full. It's a valuable service that you guys are performing. You've been doing it for a lot of years, and it's greatly appreciated. My name is James McKnight. I'm also the candidate for the 6th District of the Christian County Fiscal Court. I'm a husband, father, and a grandfather. I'm a retired Army Green Beret and a retired U.S. Postal Service worker. I've served on the Budget Committee of the Oak Grove City Council for a total of 9.5 years, dating back to 2007. I've been a part of some of the development that we've had going on down there. Oak Grove's been doing some good things down there, and that part of the county is doing well, as a matter of fact. I'm also an honorary Kentucky Colonel. I've been so for about 6 years now. I'm fully committed to the county while reining in taxes at the county level and doing what we can to get some relief from state, particularly state pensions that are hitting municipalities as well as county employees. The state has put it upon the cities and the counties that we have to pay a larger portion, and that's really starting to affect our bottom line, and it's making it harder to keep taxes under control. Mindful of the county's future obligations and qualified to represent the 6th Magisterial District with a proven voting record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKnight. Question number one, Mr. Peterson. What would be your top two priorities if you are elected?
The first one would be Highway 115 in my district. There's a proposal for the Highway 115 I-24 corridor. Highway 115 is a major district, and it needs to be pretty much redone. It needs to be what they call a super three lane, given shoulders on both sides, and with the traffic and with the industrial park that's coming in into Hopkinsville, given access into that. That would be one of them. The second one would be, since December 10th, we've kind of changed our view on tornado safety, and I would be looking into getting funding for more tornado sirens and some tornado shelters placed for people that just don't have anywhere to go when those situations arise.
Thank you. Mr. Mr. McKnight, what would be your top two priorities if you were elected?
Well, my number one priority would be, of course, our roads. That's one of the biggest things we do. We have 460-plus miles of roads, and I know there's a process, almost as if it's like a six-year planning program to maintain some of these roads. Some of the roads are getting pretty tore up. 115 in particular, yes, that would be nice to have that widened, because that's a real safety hazard. We've got a lot of bus traffic, a lot of school bus traffic that travels that road. We've been promised for years to get some relief on that. It's slow in coming, but that's one of our top priorities. My second priority would be the economic development in this county. We've always been hurting. We've been hurting for the longest time to have a ready-to-go workforce. Our education has been lacking, and that's what's stopping a lot of these companies of workers ready to go. In order to make these major investments and bring these people in here. It's the region itself is red hot. Carter Hendricks is doing a marvelous job bringing them in here. We've got to do what we can to get our people educated up in basic skills to be able to walk in and hit the ground running on some of the newer equipment in these industrial sites.
Thank you. Mr. McKnight, question two, would you change any current priorities?
I think the current priorities are in pretty good shape. I know the fiscal court has been doing a good job. I watch their meetings. The priorities are in line with where I think they needed to be. Maybe some further emphasis on some of them, but I think the priorities are in good order as they are.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, would you change any current priorities?
I don't know that I would change any. I do have one that I would like to see. Our public safety radio services. The county is responsible for the radio infrastructure, which is our towers and our everything that our emergency services use to communicate back and forth. And the funding right now is kind of staying stagnant. And I like to plan for the future. And in the future, we're going to have to upgrade this. And I would like to see us be putting some money aside for when the day comes when we have to upgrade this, because it will happen.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, what is your county budget philosophy? What are the principles you would use to assign funding?
Well, I believe that our job is infrastructure and public safety. So when we talk about funding projects and how we need to distribute our money out, the number one would be our infrastructure, how to get it to our roads, get it to the maintaining the roads. The other, of course, would be our public safety, which boils back to what I'm talking about now as far as our sheriff's department, our radio issues, things like that. But I believe our number one job as fiscal court in the county is to maintain our infrastructure and public safety. I think everything else should be second.
Thank you. Mr. McKnight, what is your county budget philosophy? What are the principles of funding?
Thank you. Again, public safety is our number one priority. We have to make sure our public safety is funded to the best of our ability. I believe our police forces are there. They're making great strides. I would like to see some more monies devoted to our fire departments. That's to include our volunteer fire departments. I know in Oak Grove we're trying to go to mixed volunteer and paid fire departments. So we've been making those moves and trying to acquire the property down there, because we have to move our own fire right now through no control of our own from the state widening that 9/11. Public safety be number one, and again, I'd like to see more emphasis put on our education, because we've got to be more competitive drawing companies in here with a ready-to-go workforce.
Thank you. All right, again, Mr. McKnight, how would you continue to improve community partnerships with local law?
Several cycles goals is we're trying to get more community involvement with neighborhood watches. We've had a little bit of success with that. That's been proven to be the most effective thing you can do if you're starting you get the kids at a younger age where they know that, you know, these people are here to help you, public safety. Everybody wants safe neighborhoods, safe streets. That's so the community involvement, the biggest thing we could probably do is encourage more community policing.
You continue to improve community partnerships with local law enforcement.
I believe our sheriff's department has done a great job with their police academies that they've had for the citizens to come and attend, to actually ride in the sheriff's cars, to be hands-on with what each deputy goes through every day. I think that the city of Hopkinsville has some kind of the same thing, but I think educating people of our law enforcement communities do, and that they are people just like we are, and that they under a lot of stress. But I think the more we educate the community about what their job is, how they do their job, and let them see that with their own eyes, I think that's a great thing, and I would keep going with that.
Thank you. All right, and Mr. Peterson, question five. What is your road maintenance plan? How can the county end roads in Christian County?
I think we're doing a good job now on the maintaining side. We do still have 25 miles in the county of gravel road. That would be something that I would like to work for in my next term, to try to get Christian County to have all their roads under blacktop. I think in this time that should happen. But our maintenance side, we have crews that go out, they look at these roads. We, as roads in our district, we let them know which ones are getting out of shape. We try to catch them before they get too bad, and then they will come in, they will look at all the roads that we and magistrates have turned in, and then they kind of rate them of worse down, and that progress seems to be working pretty good for us on our county roads. If you notice, most of our county roads are in better shape than our state roads are.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McKnight, what would your road maintenance plan be, and how can and maintain its roads?
I think I would take a better look at all of the roads within the county, so I would see where the 6th district, where we stood and what we could actually try to pursue as far as getting monies from the county. I understand there's a plan in place, and not everybody's going to get every road in their own district taken, service to their satisfaction. So there's going to be a waiting list involved in that. But I would say we'd have to maintain vigilance on that. Try to get the roads, try to maintain the roads before, like Mr. Peterson said, before they actually do get out of control, because the things are becoming safety hazards. We've got a couple down there that are really getting to the point where it's kind of hard to dodge some of the potholes. But that would be that'd be my plan, to make sure we were getting everything that we were due down there.
Thank you. All right, Mr. McKnight, question six. Do you believe the current budgeting process the county uses is working well? If not, what would you change about it?
I do believe that the current process is working well. I'm not entirely comfortable with some of the tax incentives that we've offered some coming in. I know we'd love to see those people come in, but some of those terms, I don't know about 12 years of that kind of a tax break, because those monies have to be made up somewhere else. That's something that I wasn't part of it. I'd have to review that, because I know there'll be some more of those in the future, and a precedent has been set, and I don't want to continue to give these things, give them away for 12-year periods of time to bring those in there. I think we have to approach that in a responsible fashion as far as bringing in these people that want in the markets here. And I think we could probably play a little shrewder in what incentives we wanted to offer future developments.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Peterson, do you believe the current budgeting process the county uses is working well? And if not, what would you change about it?
I do believe it's working well. I do believe that the incentives are necessary. The incentives are set, if you look to our competitors, and especially across the state line, they're offering these, and they're going to offer them. And I feel like if we're not in pace with them on offering these incentives, then they're going to go somewhere else. So, you know, the incentive packages that we issue now is not just numbers that we've thrown out there. We've done research to find out how we can stay competitive with other counties close to us to be able to draw them in. And so I do feel like we're doing a good job on that.
Mr. Peterson, question 7. What do you see as your role in advocating for the county at the state level?
I think our role is huge. I think that our job as elected officials on our county level is to do that. You know, we're the ones that see people every day, whether it's in the dollar store or the Minute Mart, but we see everybody. Choose whether it's county issues or state issues. I've been lucky enough. I have really great relationships with our two state representatives and our senator. But when I get those calls or I get those complaints or whatever they are on the state side, I'm able to pick up the phone and call them and tell them exactly what I'm hearing. And I think they listen. So I think it's huge that we advocate for anything, and that's what I'll tell any of my voters. I don't care whether your issues with a state road, county road, touch with the right person to get your issues taken care of. So I think that as a local official, that is one of our number one jobs, is to communicate to the state officials what's going on in our county, what we need, and where we need it, and when we need it.
Thank you. All right, Mr. McKnight, what do you see or what would you see as your role in advocating for the county at the state level?
Or at least make some progress towards two things. Number one would be the retirement income that's taxable, which has just been lowered in the last couple of years by $10,000. These are some of the things that stop people from Tennessee from moving into Christian County. That, and number two, I think it's criminal that a person is discouraged from owning personal property because of the fact that there's personal property taxes due on it every year. And again, I've been here over 30 years, that you buy a vehicle and keep it for 20 or 30 years because you want to be frugal, you know, and it might be good on gas, and you get hit with a tax bill on that same vehicle that you paid sales tax on when you bought it and registered it, and you have to pay taxes on that every year. It'll actually get to the point, I think I have one now that I've paid more in taxes for than I paid for the vehicle. So those two items I'd like to see if we could possibly lobby and get some support at the state level, because I'm sure we're not alone down here. We board 5 of them. So those two things I'd like to see some help on.
Thank you. All right, Mr. McKnight, question 8. How would you advocate for the expansion of broadband into rural Kentucky?
That is another issue that's a nationwide issue, and that's another thing that keeps us from being as competitive as we possibly could be. That's something that, I mean, particularly in the last couple of years when we've had remote learning. I don't know how those people dealt with that when they had sketchy internet connections.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Peterson, how would you advocate for the expansion of broadband into rural Kentucky?
I would like to use what we have done as a... We went to our two local providers, Pennerol Rural Electric, Hopkinsville Electric Service, entered into a partnership with them, and with that, by the end of 2023, somewhere 2024, every house in Christian County is going to have available to it high-speed fiber optic internet. I think partnerships is how the government should work. I don't think the government should just go out and take over and do its own thing. I think it together to make something work for the people. And we have been dealing with this problem forever, and now we're getting something done about it. And this is already in the works. Pinrod Electric's already stringing cable. Hopkinsville Electric's already setting prices and offering it to people. It's going to take, it's a process to grow, but it's moving right now, and it is growing, and something I'm pretty proud that we got done.
Thank you. And the final question. Increase citizen participation in local government.
I'd like to see, and I think that the Hoptown City Council does this kind of a mentorship class. It's kind of like what the Sheriff's Department I was talking about earlier. But I would like to have groups come in and show them the process, whether it's in small classes or even, you know, going to school and educating the high school, middle schools. If you listen to a lot of the national stuff and you hear all that, but you don't realize local government don't quite work like that. It's more of a close-knit thing. So I would like to see some educational-style programs put together so that we could bring the public in, let them be by our side for a month or however long to see how we do, how physical courts, the process is there, how we get our packets and go through and make decisions. So like that come together for physical court. And in my next term, I would probably work to try to put that together to where we could have the community involvement in our day-to-day as magistrates.
Thank you. And Mr. McKnight, if you were elected, how would you increase citizen participation in local government?
I think what we're doing right now, a lot of cases, that's a step in a positive direction. The meetings public, making them Facebook friendly, if you will. That's a great service to the people. The more people get involved in that, the more they can actually see what's going on, and you'll actually get them to come in and have a more active role and make actual meetings in person. And that's going to get the people more interested and have a feeling that they actually have a voice and they can actually affect some change themselves.
Thank you. Knight and the incumbent, Mr. Philip Peterson, for your appearances tonight and your answers to our questions. And with no further ado, we will conclude this forum.
Well, thank you.
Closing statements.
Oh, I'm sorry. I certainly apologize. 1 minute closing, and it is Mr. McKnight will go to you.
Well, folks, we need you to come on out in May. There's going to be a lot of interesting races. The judge executive level, people that are actually having to go through this process. But got a few candidates for judge executive, and a lot of interest. So I think the people come on out. This is I'm hoping for a good turnout for this primary. I know, generally speaking, you look at the voting rolls and records. A lot of folks don't come out for primaries, but maybe this year it'll be a little different.
Thank you. And Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. You can look at what they've done. When I was elected, I said that I'd listen to my voters. When there was an issue that affected District 6, I stood up and I strongly voiced the voters' opinion to all that were involved. I said that I'd be transparent. And within 2 months of my election, my 11-year-old daughter, with my cell phone, started the first Facebook Live broadcast of physical court. I said that I would work to get Highway 115, which was in horrible shape, resurfaced. I advocated to our state officials, and now Highway 115 is I said I'd work for our first responders, and I voted for money to provide the sheriff's office with state-of-the-art body cameras. I also worked with the budget committee to increase the funding for volunteer fire departments to help pay for their vehicle insurance. Last but not least, I said I'd serve my community. On December 10th, when the tornadoes came through, I was with the community, working to do everything we could to help those that were hurting. I'm Philip Peterson, and I'm asking for your vote for Magistrate District 6. Thank you.
Down. And have a good evening. We'll conclude this forum for District 6 Magistrate.
Thank you.
Thank you.